Uncle Sam presents...
Hello, Mom.
Hello, Mom. This is Robin.
Hello, Mom. It's Bunny.
Hi, Mom. It's Clark.
Hello, Mom. This is your boy, Jack.
Hiya, Mom. It's Cliff.
This program is presented by the Army Air Forces from the West Coast Training Center at Santa Ana, California. Tonight, we're saying hello particularly to the mothers of all the cadets and men at the Army Air Forces Advanced Flying School at Kirtland Field, Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so, Mom, if you have a boy at Kirtland Field, this program is a special salute to you. And here is the opening musical salvo. The Army Air Forces Orchestra opens fire with a fastly called Why. Like modern American music, Mom, the orchestra offers something now which we think you like particularly. It's the second movement, the Pavan, of an American symphonette by that brilliant young composer, Morton Gould. Plane starts out on a mission, the entire mission revolves around the bombardier. He is the man who actually heaps the death and destruction on enemy personnel and installations. Of the Army Air Force's advanced flying schools where air bombardment is taught, one of the largest is the base at Kirtland Field, high up on a great mesa to the east of Albuquerque, New Mexico. This field formerly was the home of the famous 19th Heavy Bombardment Group, which has distinguished itself in the South Pacific Theater of War. But now, in place of the great four-motor ships that formerly filled the New Mexican skies, the people of Albuquerque and the surrounding country gaze up at sleek silver AT-11s, the so-called classrooms of the clouds, in which our young bombardiers are trained. Now, we know you mothers whose sons are in training at Kirtland Field would like to know what goes on there, and so we have brought someone here tonight who can tell you all about it. Here is Lieutenant Howard K. Finch of the Army Air Forces Advanced Flying School, Kirtland Field, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Lieutenant, let's say a cadet has successfully passed his pre-flight training as a bombardier. He's now assigned to Kirtland Field. What happens to him first?
Well, Sergeant, he immediately begins a 3-week period of ground training in such subjects as the theory of bombing, aircraft familiarization, and construction and operation of the bomb site. During this time, he's also been working in the ground trainer.
Oh, and just exactly what is that, Lieutenant?
Well, it's the equivalent of the link trainer in which the pilot practices flying without ever actually leaving the ground. Now, the simplest way I can explain it is to say that the bombardier is put into a cockpit. Underneath him, there's a relief map on which is his target. It's exactly in scale. Although the bombardier is only about 10 or 12 feet above this map, it looks exactly as the corresponding country would at, say, 10, 15, or 20,000 feet.
That's very interesting. Well, after this 3-week period is over, does the cadet start bombing practice immediately?
No, first he makes several of what we call dry runs. That means that he goes up without any bombs, becomes familiar with the bomb site under actual flying conditions, and then he goes on his first practice bombing mission.
Does he use real bombs on these practice missions?
As far as weight and size go, yes. The main difference is that they contain mostly sand. There's just enough powder in them to make an explosion, which can be seen from the air, and that's very important because photographs are made of all the bombardier's efforts, and you see, that's how he's graded.
Uh-huh. Well, what happens after this 3 weeks, sir?
After this, the bombardier practices bombing under actual combat conditions.
How much time does this take before the bombardier is graduated?
It takes 12 weeks from the time he checks into Kirtland Field to complete the course.
And then he gets his wings just as the pilot does.
That's right, with but one difference. The bombardier is entrusted with the care and protection of his bomb site. One of the really secret weapons of the war. Before entering training, the bombardier takes the following oath. In the presence of Almighty God, I do solemnly swear and affirm that I will accept the secret trust placed in me by my commander-in-chief, the President of the United States of America, by whose direction I have been chosen for bombardier training. I pledge myself to live and to act according to the code of honor of the bombardiers of the Army Air Forces. And I solemnly swear that I will keep inviolate the secrecy of any and all confidential information revealed to me, and in full knowledge that I am a guardian of one of my country's most priceless military secrets, do further swear to protect the secrecy of the American bomb site, if need be, with my life itself.
Thank you, Lieutenant Howard K. Finch. The Kirtland Field Hit Tune of the Week. The story behind this number is that one of our high government officials, while visiting in South America, liked the tune so well that he brought back orchestrations of it for some of his musician friends. Since then, its lively rhythms have swept the country, and it seems that Kirtland Field has been no exception. And so here it is, Mom, Brazil.
Thank you.
By now, Mom, wherever we find outstanding musical talent at the various Army Air Forces bases, which we salute, we try to bring them down here to you. And so now, Mom, it is our pleasure to present Staff Sergeant George Smith of Kirtland Field at Albuquerque, playing with the orchestra his own arrangement of a Russian medley, including Dark Eyes, Two Guitars, and the Red Army Marching Song. Sergeant George Smith of Kirtland Field. Standing high on the honor rolls of valiant Americans whose heroic deeds and fast devotion to duty are helping us win this war are the names of the nurses serving with the Army Air Forces. They are no less soldiers with wings than the brave pilots, bombardiers, navigators, and gunners who fly and man our planes and the ground crews who service them. There's only one trouble. There are not enough of them. The Army Air Forces seriously need many more graduate nurses. Successful applicants will be commissioned in the Army Nurse Corps in the relative grade of second lieutenant. So, Mom, if you know any graduate nurses, tell them to inquire of the flight surgeon, Army Air Force's West Coast Training Center at Santa Ana, California, and find out how they can become members of Uncle Sam's flying, fighting legions of the air. You know, Mom, Arthur Schwartz has written many lovely tunes, but perhaps one of the best known and best liked is his Dancing in the Dark. The Army Air Force's orchestra plays it for you now in a special arrangement by Corporal Sebastian Mercurio. From the field we're saluting, a soldier or cadet who occupied some outstanding or unique position in civil life. Tonight we bring you a man who earned his living by writing Western novels, sometimes referred to irreverently as horse operas. It's our pleasure to present Private Jonathan Glidden of the Army Air Force's Advanced Flying School at Kirtland Field. Private Glidden, how many books have you had published?
Four, with another coming out in March.
Did you write them under your own name?
No, under the name of Peter Dawson.
And what made you decide to use a pen name?
Well, partly because of my friends, Sergeant.
Friends? Just how do you mean that, Private Glidden?
Well, how would you like to be the friend of the man who wrote The Crimson Horseshoe?
Well, I think I see what you mean. Look, Private, are you kidding, or is that really the name of one of your books?
That really is. In fact, it was my first one.
Oh, and when was it published?
Back in 1940. It gave me a pretty fair start, too. It just happened to win the Dodd Mead $2,000 prize for the best Western of the year.
Well, that was a good start. What are the names of your other books?
After The Crimson Horseshoe, there was Stagline Feud. After that, Troublesome Range and Long Ride.
Uh-huh.
The one that will be out in March is called Trail Boss.
After the war, I suppose you'll keep on with Westerns.
Well, not exclusively. Just before enlisting, I started to branch out a little into the whodunits.
Whodunits? Oh, yes, I presume that's the trade name for mystery or detective stories, huh?
That's right. I've had a couple published in the pulp magazine.
Do you like writing mystery stories?
Very much. I have a wonderful time myself trying to figure out who done it. But that's all in the future, of course, after the war is won.
That's right, Private Clinton. The script you're helping with now is a thriller, all right, but it's no mystery. We know who did it, the Germans and the Japs, and it'll be a straight action story from this point on. And thank you, Private Glidden of Kirtland Field. And now, Mom, here's the Swing Wing huddling around the microphone, and they've cooked up something pretty special. What they're going to do to Rimsky-Korsakov's Song of India? Well, you may be a little surprised, but your boy at Kirtland Field will think it pretty solid. Here it is. Memory tune of the week. And here's the spot, Mom, where we bring you your memory tune of the week. Tonight, it's one of Irving Berlin's most beloved tunes. That favorite of yesteryear is arranged by Sergeant Reuben Rexon. Remember? That's right, Mom. It is remembered. salute to you and all the other mothers and boys stationed at the Army Air Force's Advanced Flying School at Kirtland Field, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Next week at this same time, the orchestra and chorus, under the direction of Sergeant Felix Slatkin, will salute the mothers of the cadets and men stationed at the Army Air Force's Advanced Flying School, Mather Field, California. Until then, we say,
so long, mom. I do a lot of things you really don't expect. I hope the dad won't mind my calls.
Sergeant Hal Gibney speaking. This program came to you from the Army Air Force's West Coast Training Center at Santa Ana, California. This is the National Broadcasting Company.